Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2023 Shiners Children's Open over there in Las Vegas, Nevada. So another birdie fest on hand. We'll recap a bit of last week for what we can tell you because we didn't watch much of it. And we'll get your DraftKings lineups ready for this week. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Another week in the books. Congratulations is in order, I was told.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. I happened to lay $5 on about five different guys that we talked about at the end of the pod last week. One of them was Luke List, just a, simply a value bet. And he makes a fucking 30-footer on the last hole to win it. So on the playoff hole, the last, the only playoff hole. But either way, yeah, five into 250. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. Five-man playoff because – no one could close it out. Like, no one could close it out.
Right. This is the first week, the first legal betting week in the state of Kentucky. Yeah. So first golf tournament. You know, last week it opened previous to this, but it was the first golf tournament besides the Ryder Cup play tournament that we could bet on. So I'm undefeated.
There we go. He's
my retire.
You're going to see him on Twitter pretty soon telling about all the units he's up and the win streaks he's got. So watch out. Watch out. Big things ahead. A Patreon might be around the corner. I don't know. But, you know, big stuff here from Jesse. I can't wait to see what he has this week. But it does make sense. Like we talked about at the end of last show, these are birdie fests. Just there's so many long shots that are in play. Like I even went through getting the model ready for today's show and just looking at the guys that finished last week. There's three, if not four guys in the 6K range this week that finished in the top 20, a couple in the top 10 last week. Like, there's long shots that can make you some cash coming in this week. Even if it's the top 20 variety that we talked about, you can do a lot of that. But just to win, and I wouldn't be shocked this week. Like, there's still the elites. There's the Aubert. They said that many times on air. I watched the replay on Sunday night. Aubert is how they pronounced it. And Tommy Kim is coming back. He's the defending champion and others. So the elite should do well, but when it's a birdie fest, we've said it so many times that all hell can break loose at a moment's notice.
Well, all it took was Luke List, like, not sucking at putting.
Shocker.
He was seventh in the field in strokes gained putting last weekend. So, and actually, his short game was good, too, around the greens. I mean, he was fourth. His approach game wasn't that great. And he was 12th tee to green. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Like, you look at Ober, he was 54th in the field last week in strokes gained putting. So, you know, he's a good play this week, but he's also high-priced. It was just one of those tournaments, man. Like, you know, it really should have been Ben Griffin winning that tournament. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the beast. Whenever you have so much pressure on you coming down the stretch, it's hard to execute, even for these guys who are the best in the world.
And when you haven't been there before, it's tough. It's very, very tough. You know, Griffin, Norlander was a guy we talked about, has amazing course history here. Form wasn't great, and he showed out. He loved this course. We'll see how it turns this week. And, of course, course history isn't as great for Norlander, but the form is okay. You mentioned Neesmith is just too cheap for who he was. He finished great for the price tag he was. Yeah. There's a lot of that that's going to take place, so it's going to be fun to see. And one thing I want to mention on Luke List, Rick Gaiman at Rick Run Good tweeted this out. He always has some interesting nuggets, and this one stood out to me. Best tee to green players on tour over the last 200 rounds.
Saw that, yeah.
Scheffler, Cantlay, Henley, top three. Okay, makes sense. Matsuyama, tee to green, makes sense. Connors is fifth. Berger's still there because technically it's his last 200 rounds, but yeah. M is seventh. Eighth on this list is Luke List. And that just goes back to you said it and when you talked about him. We've said it like with List and a handful of these other kind of guys that have been just trying to break through if they could just freaking putt.
Yeah,
they're super talented on every other aspect of the game, but it's obviously if you can't make birdies, it's common sense you ain't gonna win. And List did it this time, like a 30 footer of all things, like you would like a 10 footer or something. Okay, cool. For of all guys, Luke List to make a 30 foot putt, you're just like, holy, like it's one of those you've golfed with your buddies, like in a skins game, or you know you're playing for some side cash or something. And you're like, there's no way he's making this putt. You can't putt. Like, he's going to be lucky to two putt this. Those guys on the green were probably thinking, okay, how are we going to approach the next playoff hole? What are we like? They're already like game planning. And here comes Liz just bombing it. It's just crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was. I mean, because none of them had a good shot in there. It's a difficult hole. It's a very long hole. It's a par four. And like, I think the shortest was like maybe 175 in from all the five guys that. And some of them had 200 in because they hit it in the rough. And that's a difficult shot. Nobody hit a fucking good shot in there.
No.
What I would consider a good shot for these guys. I mean, a lot of good shots for me or you, but
yeah,
nothing I would consider a good shot. And then it just, one guy makes a bomb and the rest of them go home in second.
Yeah, I watched a lot of them Thursday, Friday. It was fun to see. Didn't get a ton over the weekend, but I enjoy these birdie fests to an extent. The other extent is it's just super frustrating because literally I had a bunch of guys at -4. That did not make it to the weekend. So that was just one of those breaks. And we'll have that here again in Las Vegas at the Shriners Children's Open. So, Jesse, what do you got for some past event history on an event we've played quite a few times?
Yeah, it's been here for a while. Last year, Tom Kim was the champion, 24 under, three shots over Cantlay and Neesmith. The year before that, 2021, Sung J.M., 24 under, four shots over Matt Wolf. 2020 was the second time that Martin Laird has won this golf tournament. 2300 playoff over Austin Cook and Matt Wolf. 2019, Kevin Na was the winner for the second time at this tournament. 2300 in a playoff over Cantlay. Bryson DeChambeau won this golf tournament in 2018. 21 under, one shot over Cantlay. Cantlay actually won the fucking tournament in 2017 and then just has played second ever since. But obviously not in the field this week. 9 under that year, playoff over Alex Setia and I'm just going to say Kim. Mean Wee Kim, who knows. Rod Pampling, past champion. Smiley Kaufman, who is now pretty much the featured guy on the mic for the Golf Channel, which I think is awesome. I think he does a good job.
He's so good at it, man.
He is.
He's very good at it.
He gives a really good perspective about stuff and is like, he's not out there like bullshitting. He does a good job. Ben Martin, past champion, Webb Simpson, Ryan Moore. This is a weird set of champions, but the last 2 years I can see why those two guys won, but before that it's just weird.
Yeah, she used to be the Patrick Cantlay Invitational, but then I think the year Bryson won, I think that was like his big breakout year where he started just winning everything. And then obviously Tom Kim, the Asian varieties, if you follow Kenny Kim, he'll tell you they've done very well at this tournament. It's kind of a shame it's the new fall rules, because you usually get a good field here, because if you're not living in Florida for golf, a lot of guys have moved to Vegas for golf, like Morikawa, Cantlay, a ton of dudes live in the Vegas area, so you get a lot of fun stuff there. But it'll be a good event. It's a TPC Summerlin, which we've seen many, many times, par 72, about 7,250 yards, but it's played at elevation, so the ball is just going to fly. The ball's going to run out of locks. It's like desert golf. Think like TPC Scottsdale. Think about the courses we see down there in our favorite Amex, the three tournaments there at La Quinta.
It's not our favorite, but go ahead.
That was sarcasm. For those that weren't watching our faces. But those kind of deserty courses. The one thing that's going to be interesting, because if this was played last week, it was like nuclear hot on the West Coast, and all of a sudden it started cooling down today. So I think by Thursday it'll be at least cooler compared to what it was last week. Otherwise the ball would just be going a mile. The thing is, there's not a ton of trees, obviously, because it's desert golf, but with the run out and everything, you can get yourself into trouble by getting into the desert area, that you might find some cacti or some other things to get in your way, which will make it difficult. There is some water on the course, but for the most part, if you can be accurate in the fairway, it's going to turn into the same thing as last week, where you get about 100, 150 in most of the time. Greens are easier to hit than most courses here. Fairways are actually easier to hit as long as you're not like rolling it out everywhere. So it turns into a birdie fest, like get hot putting, and you're going to have some fun here by the scores. Most scores are over 20 under to win. That year that Jesse mentioned, Cantlay at 9 under. I actually remember that was some of the nastiest weather Vegas like ever sees that time of the year. And they just powered through it. But usually, and it doesn't like there'll be any bad weather, hopefully, right this time around. So it's going to be another birdie fest. Find the fairways, get a good kind of wedge-ish game in, and get hot putting, and we'll see what Sunday looks like. What do you got for stats here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same old shit. Approach, off the tee, plenty of course history. I mean, you could probably make the same model as you did last week, and it would be
pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar as far as you just basically got to be able to you know, you want guys who are, have been good and obviously recently and then at this golf tournament in the past.
Yep, for sure.
It ain't rocket science is what I'm trying to say.
No, no, it's not. It definitely isn't. So let's get into the DK picks for the week here. We have four guys over 10K. Ludwig Aubert is $11,000. He leads the way here. Very interesting. His approach game is what's killing him. You mentioned putting 21st in this field. Still not great, obviously, but that 100 to 125 wedge game, not great right now from Aubert. You got Tommy Kim at 10.9. Cam Davis is at 10.3. And JT Poston at 10,000. Who you liking up here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Aubert, you know, 11,000. I feel like he's kind of the class of the field again. And he obviously showed it last week. I mean, you know, ended up in the playoff and couldn't putt. So if he can get a little bit of a putter going this week, definitely like his chances. Tom Kim is another guy who is playable for sure. You know, since his win, it's been kind of weird here. Or since his win here last year, it's been kind of a weird year for him. But he has strung together, especially toward the end of the year, some really good tournaments, three top tens out of six starts. So that's pretty solid. And then Cam Davis at 10,300. I don't have what the finishes were last year for whatever reason. They're not loaded in here. But the 3 years prior to last year, he made the cut. Now his best finish in that time frame was 27th, which is not great. But he's come off a third place finish at the Fortnite. So all three of these guys, I think, except for I don't know why in the fuck JT Poston is 10,000. Can you tell me?
No, I like JT Poston, and maybe this will make him like 2% owned. But I could have understood Siwoo. I could have understood going back to Eric Cole because we saw it last week. There's a handful of guys. JT was not on the list. No.
The last time JT Poston was over $10,000 was almost a year ago at the Sanderson Farm. So last week's tournament. 10,200. He was 13% owned and missed the cut.
Yeah, all I can see is he hasn't played since the playoffs. 22nd the BMW, 24th at FedEx, 7th at Wyndham. So he was playing well. Yeah, but his course history, it's like 20th missed cut, 27th missed cut.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, it doesn't like scream 10,000.
Now he's going to win, everybody. Now he's going to win after all the things we just said so lovingly about him.
Yeah, you're probably correct.
That's what it feels like. But yeah, it's Aubert's tournament to lose is the way I see it. But I faded him last week. I faded him pretty much every week just because he's so darn popular. Has it worked out well for me yet? No, because he plays so well. It's just at 11,000. We talk about it all the time. He better at worst top five, if not win this damn thing. That's pretty much what it comes down to. So it's just game theory for me. I think he'll be super popular. Tom Kim will be super popular at 10.9. Could he come back and do it? Sure. You mentioned the struggles he's had. I think it's also like it's quite the layoff he's had, and that kind of wonders. He was just on the cover of GQ, like Asia or something recently, or Europe or something. So he's living the life, I'll say that much. But I think I'm going to probably pass on these guys. I like a lot of the 8 and 9K guys. If I do play anybody here, it is Cam Davis, just because he is starting to come into form. We covered him quite a bit towards the end of the year. You mentioned the 3rd at the Fortnite, 40th at the BMW, 6th at St. Jude, 7th at Wyndham. I'm going to treat this like a small course because the elevation we've always talked about, Cam Davis at small courses.
Yeah.
This could be a great, great breakthrough spot for him. I really think it is because his issue all the time is finding fairways. But if you can put the driver away, he should be good to go because par five scoring is great. His wedge game is outstanding. There's a lot of par fours, 4 to 450. He's 3rd in the field in that. So I like Cam Davis quite a bit at 10.3 if I'm paying up in this field. 9K, Siwoo Kim at 99, Eric Cole at 98, Nikolai Højgaard at 96, Emiliano Grillo, who shit thy bed last week at 94, Adam Hadwin 93, Shank 92, and Lucas Hébert at 9K. Some interesting options here. What do you like?
Yeah, Cole would be definitely one at 9,800. You know, 35th last week at 10,300, but before that was 4th, 25th, 31st. Hasn't missed a cut since late May of this year. And then Adam Hadwin at 93. I don't know where he finished last year again.
I got it for you. In 2023, Hadwin finished 10th. He's played very well here.
So 10th, 6th, 34th, 4th, 27th. Going back to 2016, it's pretty solid. Now, current form leaves some shit to be desired here. 44th, 16th, 3 missed cuts in a row. Not great. Did finish 2nd at the Rocket Mortgage. So, but just course history there is why I'm clicking on Adam Hadwin's name. But I don't really like this range a whole lot. It's I think Adam Cole, or Eric Cole is one guy I would really consider playing. But otherwise, I don't know. Do you tell me?
It's Siwoo season. I like Siwoo quite a bit at $9,900. Mm-hmm. He finished 20th at the Tour Championship. He was 31st BMW, 16th St. Jude, 33rd Wyndham. And you look at course history, 8th here last year, miscut 8th, 55th, 15th. So he's got some serious ability here. Obviously, Siwoo and Sungjae are not having to go to the military anymore. So I like Siwoo, just kind of having that relaxed, hopefully, nature. And you don't want to play out of the desert, but the fact that he can miss from time to time is a good thing. So I do like some Siwoo at 99. I also like Adam Hadwin at 93 for everything you mentioned. And then Adam Schenk at 92 is another guy I like quite a bit in this field. Really finished the year strong. 9th of the Tour Championship, 34th of BMW, 6th of the St. Jude. Good form there. Is definitely his best year, period, on tour. If you look at past event history, 12th, 3rd, 27th, and 18th in his last four tournaments here. So Schenk at 92 is another one I like quite a bit. So if I'm not going all the way up top, like a Kim Hadwin Schenk start, or two out of those three, I could see myself building quite a few of. 8K range. We got JJ Spahn at 89, Rye at 88, Vincent Norman 88, Hoagie, who came through last week, we all said he was weirdly priced, 87, Smalley 85, List 84, Putnam 83, Svensson had a nice week at 82, Bo Hossler had a nice week at 81, and so did Hubbard and Seabez at 8,000. So a lot of guys there are coming in really good form in this 8K range.
Yeah, this is a range I'd rather skip to. That's kind of one of the reasons why I like, not a huge fan of the 9K range, but start with JJ Spahn. He finished 11th his last time out, which was the fortnight. And was playing better there toward the end of the year, more than he was in the middle of the year. He had a good fall swing last year, at least a decent fall swing, and had a, you know. So, anyways, I like him. Aaron Rye.
That's your boy.
Yeah, he's finished second at the BMW PGA Championship on the European Tour his last time out. Made the cut the Irish Open, St. Jude 49th. So I think he's fine. Vincent Norman, this is a kind of a weird price in my opinion, but I mean, the dude hasn't missed a cut since late June. He has two wins, one on the PGA Tour at the Barbasol, the fifth major, and then at the Irish Open about a month ago on the European Tour. So dude's obviously playing really good golf at 8,800 there. I think Luke List is fine to go back to. He has missed his last two cuts at this event, but the 3 years prior to that, he was 13th, 20th, and 15th. So he has had some good form here in the – or good finishes here in the past, and it's coming off the dub where maybe he figured out how to putt. And then Mark Hubbard at 8,000. You mentioned him. You know, he came through last week at a little bit of a – yeah, he was 8,800 last week. He's 8,000 this week. Sixth place finish at the Sanderson Farms. 17th at the Fortnights, and he's, you know, kind of up and down at this course. Course history is not great, but I like the form coming in. So 8,000 for Mark Hubbard, I think is a good price.
Yeah, it's a fun pairing, as you mentioned. The names here, four of the top seven in my model are in this range. So JJ Spahn, he's seventh in my model. You mentioned he played here. He's played well here before. Fall swing's been good. He's played well at a lot of these events. Period last year, which kind of weaker fields, birdie fest type deals. JJ plays really well here. He's eighth in par fours, 4 to 450 over the last 24 rounds. At rates, I just overall pretty well what we're looking for. Aaron Rye is number one in my model because he's number one in fairways hit. He's second in par five, ninth in par fours, and he's very good at just giving you birdie chances. The approach game is very, very strong with Aaron Rye. So head covers and all at $8,800, he's quite interesting. I'm going to keep going back to Tom Hoagie. Like, it just feels like a dude of his talent in this field is just mispriced to me. I think he's a little more expensive this week than he was last week, but still, he might have been like 88 last week. But 87 for Tom Hoagie, 13th in my model. He's fourth in opportunities gained, eighth in 100 to 125. Just the approach game has always been really good with Hoagie. It's just, can you get off the tee? That's the issue. If it maybe goes less than driver, that'll help a ton. So Hoagie at 87, I like. I don't mind going back to List. I usually don't like going back to defending the champion from the week before, but $8,400 isn't bad, especially in this field. Putman at 83 is not bad. I'm going to keep saying Svensson. He was a lot cheaper last week, I believe. He's fifth in my model. The approach game's on point. When you look at Svensson, in this event. He finished 69th last year, missed a cut the year before, but coming in off the T16 last week, 15th at the BMW, 37th at St. Jude, 7th at the Wyndham. So finishing the season very strong for Adam Svensson. And then I got no problem if you want to use Hostler, Seabez, but I will highlight Hubbard. He's 31st in my model. I always love Hubbard at Birdie Fest because he can blow up and miss the cut easily, but he always has that ability to go super low. He gives himself tons of chances to get birdies. But I like this whole 8K range pretty much. It's very, very viable. If you're doing like multi-entry, maybe take a guy, a couple of like guys high or one guy high you really, really like lock them in and then mix and match this 8K range. I think you could have a lot of success. I think we'll see, obviously. But I think that's an approach worth looking into. 75 to 79, you got Suh, Higo, Gim, Thompson, Piraj, Norin, K.H. Lee, S.H. Kim, Taylor Pendrith, Matt Wallace, Ben Griffin, Sam Stevens. Another pretty fun range, actually. So who do you like here?
Yeah, for sure. Justin Suh there up top at 79. Finished eighth here in 2020. I don't know what about last year. Again, that's not loaded for whatever reason. 30th and 24th in his last two starts, which was the Fortnite and the European Masters. Davis Thompson at 7,800. Three straight top 30s for him on tour, including the last two fall events where he finished 16th and 30th. So he's playing pretty well right now. K.H. Lee at 7,600. I think you mentioned him last week. He ended up missing the cut, but was 14th the week before that. S.H. Kim, another guy, another Kim. Yep. Second at the Fortnite last time out, before the Sanderson Farm last week where he missed the cut. And then Sam Riders at 74. I can't go that low yet. Ben Griffin.
Okay.
I almost skipped over. Ben Griffin would be an interesting one. I had a buddy who bet him last week, and that was just an absolute brutal finish. And it was tough to watch over text. I don't know what put him on him, but that was a hell of a call. And you know, obviously a really good finish for him. And last week he's 8,400. This week he's 7,500. I think it's worth a shot there at 75.
Yeah, I have him checked off. Just keep it in mind. I'm wondering where his headspace is right now, because that's one of those, like, it was almost as bad as watching that Rafa Campos video over and over, where he thought he missed the par putt on 18 to not get his tour card, and then somehow he got his tour card on the. Did you see that?
Yeah,
on the Korn Ferry accounts.
You talking about? Oh, might be talking about a different guy. Might be
not Teeter. About... No, Teeter got in.
No, I know Your Teeter boy. Got in, but there was one guy who apparently Tim Anderson said he was behind, and
I missed that.
And so the guy finishes inside of where he would get his card, and then they assess him a 2-stroke penalty.
No.
Right after Anderson said Tim Anderkust said he was behind him. So
I missed the Anderkust part. I saw the 2-stroke penalty, and that's like. That's one where you can feel your stomach just drop out of your body.
Tim Anderson also said that George Kittle was not going to score the first touchdown last night.
What do you say about the second or third touchdown?
I don't know, but
that guy's got a freaking gift. That's all I have to say.
I'm so mad that I didn't watch that whole show last night. I didn't have time. I was watching golf and doing other things. And anyways,
total gift. This is what fall swing does to this is fall swing. Justin Sutt, 79. I'm with you. It's one of those, like, the form's kind of iffy coming in, but Birdie Fest, you know, this is where a lot of Pac-12 schools or the West Coast schools would play golf once in a while, if you know what I mean. So he knows this course from his college days at USC. So like Justin Sutt, 79. I think going back to Higo is just fine at $7,900. We kind of talked about him briefly last week. Last week he finished
16th,
yeah, that's what it was. 16th for Higo after a miscut the Fortnite. Finished the year kind of rough, but he had moments last year where we saw that Garrett Higo come out, which I think gives him some nice leash here in this event. He missed two cuts here, though, so course history ain't great. But I think he's interesting for a tournament play. You mentioned Davis Thompson. Man, P-Rodge is coming in horrific form. Horrific form. There's no denying that at all with Mr. Patrick Rogers, but there's just, I don't know. It's just something about this kind of West Coasty type golf. 28th here last year, then two missed cuts, then a 41st. For making a bunch of lineups, I would have a couple. Rogers is what I'd say. Don't like lockbox him, but he's interesting. You mentioned S.H. Kim. You mentioned Ben Griffin. A couple other guys to highlight. Matt Wallace is another one for me here. 28th and 14th the last 2 years here. So course history is really, really good with Wallace, but he has not played in America since the Wyndham, where he finished 45th. So take that what you wish. And then I would also want to mention Taylor Pendrith is one that is interesting. 44th and 47th here the last 2 years. And missed cut of the fortnight, finished the year kind of rough, but he's one of those guys we've seen in kind of smaller fields like this kind of show up. So I'm not saying, again, lock button, but these could be some low ownership GPP type plays. 7K to 74. I ain't reading them all. So what do you like?
Yeah, Sam Ryder. I already mentioned him. Yep. I like him quite a bit. His form coming in is really good. 51st, 14th, 31st, 38th, 7th in his last five events. So that's pretty solid for him. Callum Tarran at 7,200. He did play here last year. Again, I don't know what the fuck he finished. But 43rd and 7th in the two fall events this year. So
Callum Tarran missed the cut last year.
Yeah, so there you go. Neesmith at 7,100. I mean, is he going to be a billion percent owned?
He should be. Like, he really should be, and he could easily miss the cut, but at that price tag, he should be.
25th last week. You know, before last year, he hadn't finished outside the top 20. Hayden Buckley at 7,100 as well. He's got an 8th place finish here a couple years ago, coming off a missed cut, though. Troy Merritt, another guy who's played here a lot and actually has some really good form coming in. Two straight top 10s for Troy Merritt, 9th and 7th in his last two starts, which were both in this fall swing. Lipsky, another guy who I think is playable, hasn't missed a cut since the John Deere back in July. Not great finishes, but we're down here in the 7K at this point. And Chad Ramey is another guy who finished 14th here in 2021. Two straight top 20s for Chad Ramey coming in.
That's
both good for false swing events.
100% with you on Sam Ryder. I think a lot of us will be for good reason. He in this field seems a little too cheap. Monday he went nuclear with like 10 birdies. I think he only had 11 the rest of the weekend. That's one of those, if he just, you know, clicks the switch one more time, he's probably running away with that tournament. So Ryder at 74. Taylor Montgomery is one. I guess this is kind of where it started for him last year. The hype train 15th here last year in one of his early events. But if you just look at recent form with Taylor Montgomery, missed cut at the fortnight, 37 to St. Jude. Pick your poison there. But he's interesting at 74. Streelman sucked last week. I'm not going to deny it. I have no problem going back to him again this week at $7,300. Again, a guy that's got really good talent, 20th here last year. He's made three of his last four cuts here, so I don't mind him at all. Another guy to keep an eye on would be CT Pan. Played well last week. He had a good course history there. He's 20th in my model. When you look at past event history for CT Pan, he hasn't played here since 2021. He finished 52nd. So, but current form is pretty strong with CT Pan. He's usually a good approach game guy. Marty Party Laird at $7,100. He's coming in at least five straight cuts as far back as I go. 37th, 11th, first, the last 3 years with Laird. And he's coming in with two straight made cuts, 56th last week, 19th at the fortnight. So he'd be a guy at 71. I really like Hayden Buckley, if you like course history. 20th and 8th here the last 2 years. Missed cut last week, but a guy that can string it together. Chesson Hadley is another guy that played well last week. I love the Neesmith call. That's easy. Troy Merritt and Ramey. And Lipsky, we were on the same guys down there, but I wanted to highlight Buckley and Laird as well. But this is why I think you could literally take one of the top dudes you really like, a couple of the 8K guys, dip down here. You can make a bunch of like lineups and mix and match and make things interesting. 6K range, there are names here because it is a fun tournament like that. So what do you like?
Kyle Yawn, Yawn, I don't know.
$1,600 because mine says Yi Chun.
I don't know. However you say it, he had the highest finish ever for a Chinese-born golfer on the PGA Tour last week. He finished 6th. Coming off the Corn Ferry, I believe. I think he's playable. EVR, another guy at 6,800. Eric Van Ruyen, 16th last week at 7,400. So we get him a discount this week, and that's four straight made cuts for him, four straight top 30s, two out of the last three were top 16s, or three out of the last four were top 16s. And then last but not least, Ryan Moore, if you want to play him. I don't really like much in this range, but Ryan Moore at 6,500 just based on course history. I think he's lives in Vegas too, maybe.
He does live in Vegas. That is correct.
And last but not least, Lexi Thompson, 6,100.
If you guys are playing Lexi Thompson, send me head-to-heads, please. That's what I'm saying. I hope she does well, honestly, for a guy that's got a daughter.
No, 100%.
I would love to see her do well, but especially after the crap she took all over Twitter, like people were going crazy on her. So I'd love to see her do well. I'm a realist at the same time.
I don't think she's playing very well coming in either.
That's the thing. She's not.
She's not in very good form, and then you're going to have to go and play from, you know, about 600 more yards than where she used to.
If it was Lexi like 3 or 4 years ago, could be interesting.
That would
be really interesting. Yeah. So that's the difference on this one. I do got Carl Leon at 6,900 bucks. I'm with you there. I think Nate Lashley at 69 is another guy to take a look at. Missed cut here last year, but then prior to that, 35th, 52nd, and 62nd. So he'd be another one to look at. And if you're looking at recent form with Mr. Lashley, missed cut last week, 30th at the Fortnite. T-Dunks, 6,800 bucks. I was heavy on T-Dunks last week. I liked him in an event like that, and he played pretty well for the most part. 16th last week, missed cut at the Fortnite. But if you look at course history here, 72nd last year, 2 missed cuts prior to that. He's $6,800. And then I want to highlight our dude, Joel Dahmen, is $6,700 bucks. And we've been waiting for him to figure it out a little bit. And we got a scene, 13th last week. He finished 13th. He looked pretty good. I'm worried about him in Vegas. No, I'm just kidding, because we know how Dahmen has fun. But if you look at past event history, the last 5 events, 5 made cuts, 37th, 24th, 58th, 9th, and 69th. So Joel Dahmen at $6,700 bucks is a dude I can get behind. Norlander's down here at 66. Russell Knox, he's got bad course history, but really good form right now. And then the last one I'll mention at 6,400 bucks, if you do need a punt, it's not Lexi Thompson. It's Kelly Kraft. He withdrew here in 2022. Doesn't have a ton of history here, but if you're looking for a guy just to punt with, 16th last week, 25th at the Fortnite, 33rd at the Wyndham. So his last 3 events, 33rd or better, and on the fall swing, 25th or better. He's 6,400 bucks. I think you could do worse things than try to punt with a Kelly Kraft, as weird as that sounds right now. All right, let's recap things. 10K and above, who do you like?
Oberg.
I'll go Cam Davis. Give me some Cammy Davis. 9K.
Eric Cole.
I'm going to go with Adam Schenck at 92. 8K.
I'm going to say Vincent Norman.
Okay. I'm going to go. I love this read. I'm going to go Tom Hoagie, though, at 87. I don't like that price tag. 75 to 79.
Davis Thompson.
All right. You can have Davis Thompson. I will take. Give me Garrett Higo. 7K to 74.
Neesmith.
I'll go Sam Ryder.
Right? Yeah, he's 71.
Yep, Neesmith, you're good. 6K range.
EVR.
Yeah, that's good. I forgot to even mention, I have him highlighted. Yeah, that's a good one. That's your boy, so that's you. At 67, I will go Joel Dahmen. I just think he might have finally got something. Speaking of Dahmen, before we give our cash and GPP lineups, did you see the PGA Tour account let Gino follow a crew on, I think it was Saturday afternoon after Dahmen's round, or Friday afternoon after Dahmen's round? They basically gave him a mic and let him be like Smiley Coffin on the course.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, because Joel Dahmen saw that they were doing so, he quote tweeted it and goes, if anybody's got clips, send them my way. So the PGA Tour made like a 3-minute clip of his whole thing. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. He's asking for a hotel sponsor at one point in time. It's pretty funny stuff. This is what we need in golf,
people. I agree.
This is the fun stuff.
I agree. It's not going to hurt.
No. So if you're starting a cash game lineup out this week, who are you starting with?
Hubbard, Neesmith, and... burn my money. Ben Griffin.
Yeah, I would go with give me Sam Ryder, Tom Hoagie, and Adam Hadwin. That'd be my first 3. If you're building that GPP lineup, though, that's what this week's all about. What do you got?
Yeah, I got it. Aubert, Vincent Norman, and then Troy Merritt.
I like the Merritt call. That's a good one. Give me Cam Davis, Adam Schenck, and let's go to – I'll say he's going to be chalky, but I already went – give me Sam Ryder. I just like him a lot this week. Hopefully it's good chalk. We'll see. All right, Mr. Moneybags, what do you got? looking at DraftKings Sportsbook, what do you got for picks to win this week?
$250.
Hey, out of $5, that's a great ROI, as they say.
I don't disagree, man. I mean, I'm literally up lifetime betting. I should retire.
Let's be real about it. If you're betting a boatload of cash on like six different dudes on PGA each week, you better be a millionaire.
Yeah, so. you gotta have some deep pockets to bet PGA because it's just so sketch. But I've got since you mentioned Siwoo, I like him at 22-1. Vincent Norman at 35-1. Hubbard at 50. Ben Griffin at 60. And Neesmith at 65.
See, if you look at the DK pricing compared to the odds, Tom Hoagie's 35-1. He's like seventh on the list. He's $8,700 on DK. Not always the answer, but those things stand out. Like Eric, that stands out a ton to me. A lot of guys at 35, though. There's a boatload of guys at 35.
It's wild.
And 45. That tells you that they had no clue at this event. If we're going for some longer odds, like Sam Ryder at 60-1 is one. Maybe do a top 10 or something with him. Some deeper shots, though, because you never know at this event. You got Troy Merritt maybe at plus 110. His form is ridiculous coming in. Joel Dahman's plus 110. If you're feeling real, your boy EVR, you want to get a top 20 out of him, you could probably get pretty good odds on that. He's plus 110. The Chez is down here. I didn't even notice Chez's price tag. God damn, might have to go back and look at him, but Siwoo at 22. I like that. JJ Spahn at 35 is interesting, along with Hoagie Shank at 35. So you can have a lot of fun here, as we've talked about before. And we'll see who Jesse wins with this week. So it'll be fun. Looking for. Hey, I'm rooting for you.
I appreciate it.
I know I'm a sarcastic ass. I know I am, but
I know
I'm rooting for you.
So I appreciate it.
It's good. But any final thoughts on the Shriners?
No, good luck.
All right, everybody. If you have any questions, though, you can find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick. Until next time, this was your always pressing PGA DFS podcast for your 2023 Shriners Children's Open. Catch you all next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.